So right now we've got a video that was shot on location at Anarchapoco 2019 with John Snyson of World Alternative Media. Unfortunately, I messed up and the audio, so you do see a microphone in there, but I had the setting on recording from the camera and not recording from the actual microphone. So the entire time we're going back and forth with the microphone, basically that was useless. So the audio is not that great, which is really a shame because John is such a great mind, but I'm sure we'll hear a lot more from him as we work with him in the future. But there's a lot of great information about all these different basically high-level financial institutions and how they work with each other basically to screw us, whether it's, you know, the exchange stabilization fund or all these other sort of things that we get into in the episode. But I do want to apologize for the audio quality. It's not how we normally like to roll with things, but you know, it's, you know, one of the first times I've shot on location, so please pardon the audio. And you guys can also watch the video at BitChute if you go to bitchute.com/theLibertyAdvisor.
Well, everyone, we are recording live on location from Anarchapoco 2019. I've been here for a few days, so I actually had to think about what year it was and don't even know what day it is. But we are here right now with Josh Snyson of
Josh
is your partner, Josh Segerson of World Alternative Media. This is his partner, John. And it's been a great time so far. It was a little rough for John to get here today. It took how many hours?
Only like 46 hours. That's fine. You know, survive. And a lot of great people along the way.
I mean, you think it's like a government airlines or something. But one thing that John is really known for is his economic analysis. And it's actually been really crazy as of late. We've seen, you know, the market has just been going up week after week. It's been about, what, like six or seven weeks straight. It's been rocketing higher when really the fundamentals have not gotten any better. And actually, there was a Zero Hedge article today, and I believe it was the earnings expectations absolutely collapsing. And then at the same time, you have it shows the S&P 500 just going absolutely up. So, I mean, what do you kind of make of everything that's going on right now? Should investors think that, you know, everything is over and that it's, you know, great days ahead, or what really should people be thinking out there?
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you are a long-term investor, you're a fundamental investor. I have a load of my gold and silver and crypto. That's what I have for the long term. And then for short term, I don't really like being in the stock market or anything like that. So I'm not an expert on the puts and options, all that kind of stuff. I try to stay out of volatility. I like solid things. I like things that I know have like some form of value to anybody. And that's how I put my money. But when you go and look at the markets today, you're looking at the big companies, the big corporations. There's share buybacks. There's other ways that they try to manipulate the markets. Because what always happens with like any type of currency throughout time, like a fiat currency, it lives and it dies with the empire or the government that controls it. But at the end, backside of it, you actually see financialization, and that is what happens. You see just the blatant financialization. So you have all these things that you can do with your money to make money, so you don't need to do anything else. You don't need to produce a good product, or you don't need to go to Mars or travel. You don't really become expansive human beings, like exploring this universe and things like that. We just stick here and then play with money, making money, and there's no innovation, there's no creation of value anymore. It really slows down. And what you see now with the closure of all these stores in North America, there's of course like has something to do with the e-commerce platforms like Amazon and everything. What it really also has to do, we're kind of hitting that point where it's called the peak debt point that I call it. You're at peak credit, where there's nobody else to lend you. And when it comes to credit, your viewers are probably familiar with it, but when you go and borrow from a bank, you actually borrow the money, which comes out of nowhere, out of nothing. But then on top of that, they charge you an interest rate, and that interest rate doesn't exist. So how are you gonna pay on that interest? Well, you're gonna keep on adding more debt into the system. But then you get, it's like an ever-ending hockey stick at one point. And if you pull up far enough, you'll see the hockey stick right now. If you look at M3 money supply or that.
And wish they stopped publishing the data conveniently a few years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They removed the M3, of course, because that's a whole broad, like that's all the money that's created. And now it's just like a more narrower supply of money. So it looks like it's better than this, but you could just go to the shadow side of John Williams. He's great. He's still publishing that out and making people aware of it. But then, of course, you have all this other money that has been talked about. Mike Skidmore, you know, found, you know, transactions in the, what was it, the Department of Justice, no defense, and other something.
I think it's Department of Injustice,
of course, yeah. And they found, you know, $21 trillion of, like, transactions that they couldn't really come from. It's like, what's going on here? Like, where's that money going? Where's it coming from? He tried to really go in and talk to them and try to find answers, but then sometimes he would get, like, sheets of paper, like, huge stacks of paper, which is, like, blacked out papers.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably about 50 different things that you just brought up that we could get into. And I can't remember the guy's name, but there was, it just came to me. Mark Pittman, I think, was the guy who ended up suing, did a FOIA request. I think it was maybe 2009, 2010. And what they found out was that there was a secret bailout, and that the real bailout wasn't the TARP $800 billion, but it was really the 16, or roughly, some people say it was 10 trillion, some people say it was 16, okay. But there was 10 or 16. Very big number, and essentially that went to the richest people in the world. It went to Gaddafi's bank, actually, and then, you know, he wasn't playing ball anymore, so they, and he wanted to help build up his people, so then they had to go and do away with him. And then you also had, like, the Bank of England was a major recipient of it, so it's almost like this Rob Peter to pay Paul game where they're just passing around this hot potato of, okay, now it's your turn to bail it out. And you brought up the debt, and we hit $22 trillion. And a lot of conservatives right now are under the impression that Trump is actually doing a lot of really great things to lower the debt and deficit. We've seen the deficit go from about $666 billion with Obama, very fitting number. And this year, I mean, it could very easily, it's probably going to be over $1 trillion. It was over $1 trillion last year if you count the actual, how much the debt actually went up.
Yeah, and unfunded liabilities, all that. Like, I think we're going to just keep on going that debt. Deficit is going to increase to 1 trillion, 2 trillion, 3 trillion, 5 trillion, 10 trillion. Who knows where it's going to go, because what's going to happen is there's so many unfunded liabilities that the government has promised people that, you know, you're going to get this money and we're going to provide it to you, but they don't have it in tax income, so they got to go and just borrow that money out of thin air, and that's just going to continue. But this is just a continuous cycle where it's just going to get faster and faster, and you're going to see the number is probably, like, the deficit or the debt is going to double again, you know, like it did under Obama. We're going to see another doubling in 8 or so years. We're going to have 40 trillion, we're going to have 80 trillion.
Yeah, we are on pace right now that if Trump were to win, again, not that saying I want to or not, but if he does in another, I guess in 2020, he will be on pace to have doubled that, or to at least have added just as much of that as Obama. And I think a lot of people are completely oblivious to that. And so we're in a situation where we need to keep basically doubling the debt every 8 years just to keep things, you know, working again.
Well, it's a change in system, Tim, and how they do it. They just got to keep on, you know, printing as much money as possible to keep their system afloat. Everybody has to be indebted. If not everybody's indebted, but what are you going to do when you can peak debt, as I said, when there's nobody else to borrow and more money to? That, you can have that debt collapse, you can have a deflation, and that's the major enemy of any of these guys. It's the deflation, because who was it? It was Ben Bernanke saying in 2002 in his inaugural speech when he became governor, he said that, you know, we're going to look at probably buying a lot more assets, but he also said that deflation is the moral enemy to do. But inflation, the printing presses will always win, that's what he said. So he basically is going to fight deflation, which is more money printing, which of course is going to end up, if you take a look at history, like the French Revolution, all these different hyperinflations, you know, just during the 1900s, you had about 50 hyperinflations of currencies that failed. Same kind of concept, just now we are in newer, more electronic age, so they can, that's why they're getting away with it better this time. But the problem is, at one point, you're going to have the gilets jaunes like you have in France coming out, and people are not going to be able to afford food, just the regular things in their lives to be able to survive, and that's where you're going to have the revolution coming in. And it's coming. You see, like, the middle class is getting eradicated. You have just like more of a rich and poor starting to, you know, happen again. And that always happens with money printing. You know, the more money you print, the bigger divide you're going to have in that gap. So if you have stable money, it's not going to happen. But I know we wanted to talk about what is, like, happening with the stock market and everything. Why is it's always moving up? What is the, you know, you were talking about how the central banks kind of work together. I'm doing a report right now on central banks, the major central banks, and I found some interesting facts. So Of course, the Federal Reserve has got rid of about 6% last year in 2018. Got rid of 6% of their balance sheet. Meanwhile, it was the Bank of England, it was ECB, and the Bank of Japan has loaded up. I think their balance sheets are up about 10% in the whole.
So that was that hot potato that we were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Federal Reserve passing it around. Yeah, exactly. When you have the easing at the Federal Reserve, they're trying to sell it off their money, and then they're just passing the buck. It's like, hey, you go and print money. And that's a great thing with this one. Now it's global, so then all of them are kind of merged into this one system where everybody's just helping each other out. When you have a problem over here, you just like, oh yeah, look at the United States. Even the United States, they're printing a lot of money. You gotta remember, you have the deficit of 860 something now, billion. Well, tenfold that. Like, if it was like a trillion, for example, you could have 10 trillion more currency in the commercial banking system, and that money gets deposited into those commercial banks eventually. So, they're still printing so much money that even though they're saying that they're easing the economy, but when it comes to, we were talking about all the central banks, and it's kind of like. It's not a conspiracy because you could go and look at something called the Exchange Stabilization Fund that's out there. The Exchange Stabilization Fund was created in 1933 during the gold act, where they actually confiscated gold from the public, and then they put the $2 billion into the Exchange Stabilization Fund. And
And who runs the Exchange Stabilization Fund?
It's supposed to be the Treasury, so that's where you fund it. So it's essentially the Treasury, and what it is, it's basically trying to stabilize the US dollar. So if something happens, and this was like, I have a couple of books that I looked through, and what it shows all the interventions that they had. Since the 30s, they have about 80 interventions where they basically go out and put credit lines out to different countries. Like, actually, currently, they have a constant $3 billion dollar credit line to the Mexican government if they have any problems with their Mexican peso. So
and then when they can't pay that back, then they lend them more, and it's just keep it. Because ultimately, if you want to keep everybody in debt, it means you want to keep everybody enslaved. Because I mean, the root word of a bond is you're in bondage, and so this is perpetual slavery that we're. So we want to continue with the Exchange Stabilization Fund. This is something that I'm not as familiar with, and you're just obviously a sort of wealth of information.
I bumped into it through a video that probably most other people that know about it bumped into. It was Eric DeCarbonell. I think his family was bankers, and I guess he learned about this Exchange Stabilization Fund. So he did a video connecting it, fantastic video connecting it to the CIA and what was going on, coups and so around the world. And so I wanted to dig a little bit more, so I found some very interesting books that show the actual whole structure of the Exchange Stabilization Fund, how they have trading desks in all these different countries around the world. This was the 60s, so I can't exactly say that's what they have today, but at that time they were able to go and trade gold, like go and manipulate the gold price if they wanted to. Any assets that they could go into in order, it's the kind of like the plunge protection team that we hear about today, and I think it's a part of it. Because they could just go out and put out a whole bunch of money from their fund. Like currently they have $92 billion in fraction reserve that into the banking system. Now you can tenfold that money.
It's a trillion.
Yeah, it's a trillion, right? So they have a lot of money to just push into, try to avoid any crisis around the world, like in any currencies. For example, they're very afraid of any currency going bust, because if that happens, a lot of people are going to look at the dollar. And it's like, it's the dollar, going to collapse next, because people are starting to get educated about this fiat currency system. And you see that more and more people around the world are now doing cross-currency swaps, so they're getting out of the US dollar, and that's like the whole thing with this Exchange Stabilization Fund is to make it stable. Actually, the England has it as well, they call it the Exchange Equalization Fund. But this is what it's all about. It's all about stabilizing the currency and controlling the stability, because all about that, if the currency is not stable, it's stable in their eyes, not in our eyes, it's constantly losing value. But if it's not that, there could be people actually seeing that we're not going to accept this garbage fiat currency anymore, and then they're going to stop using it. And that is their worst nightmare, because over time, like a lot of the fiat currencies I studied, it's the time when, and this happened in Venezuela just recently, it's the time when they actually, the populace say, like, I'm not going to have this worthless toilet paper anymore. I'm going to use gold or cryptocurrency, anything that, you know, has value that they could trade with each other.
Actually, the toilet paper becomes worth more than the actual money. Because you can actually use the toilet paper for something. And you're going to actually make it to the point where, you know, Ocasio-Cortez better stop, you know, hating on all the billionaires, because they're going to make everyone a billionaire at the rate that they're going. And I think I saw Maduro came out and tried to say, oh, we got all these evil speculators, or all these, you know, get price gougers who are raising the price on all their goods. And they're basically domestic terrorists, and we need to come in and basically stop that. But, you know, if you're going to stop people from bringing in new goods.
Yeah, we could just send nice bread lines. That works pretty fine for any country, doesn't it? You know, it's, I just, like, Venezuela has been, like, a case that I saw back in 2015, because we're so dependent on oil. Like, when oil was 130, that's what they based their budget on. And then, of course, it fell. They had to print all the money to cover their massive government. They don't have a lot of taxes in Venezuela, but they just used, you know, the oil royalties. And you see this in Canada. We have two provinces that's just struggling massively now because the oil price. It's Newfoundland, Labrador, and Alberta, all the countries, actually, even Norway was struggling. They started going into deficits in their budget for the first time ever now because of the oil price, the dependency on an asset, and the government stealing that asset from the population through you know, getting the royalties and everything. Instead of actually giving that money back to the population, it's just the government siphoning off that money from their corporate friends instead of crony capitalists.
Yeah, so one thing I hope you guys can see here is I wanted to get a good cross-section of people who are actually at this conference, because you hear, you know, Anarchapoco, and you're thinking, you know, it's, you know, guys in black masks throwing Molotov cocktails through.
But you watch, there's a lot of bullets flying around there now.
But can you give us, you know, maybe, you know, kind of your take on the conference and who, you know, the types of people that are here, and are, you know, are these conversations, and is this something that's, you know, one-off, or is, you know, do you think that, you know, everyone here is sort of on this level in terms of, you know, their knowledge base and what they believe in, and just kind of give a good overall, I guess, opinion on the types of people here and the conference?
You know, it's a diverse crowd. We got everything from the hippies to the libertarians, but we're all freedom-loving people, and I don't know how many fantastic people, like, from hippies to everybody, that just have this one thing that they want to do. We don't want, you know, this massive government control over ourselves. We want to be individuals and have self-control and ownership over ourselves. And the human beings here, this is definitely not a one-off thing. This is just one of many, many beautiful conversations and philosophical conversations that we had here. Meeting, you know, I don't know how many friends, like, well, I was there last year, and I probably had 20 friends that I met here that I could truly call, like, friends for life that I am now. I you know, meant a deep, you know, meaningful relationship here, because we want to change the world in a positive manner, and that's where like, this is the networking event, you know, we can have, like, here in beautiful Acapulco, Mexico, where it's really nice and hot, you know, for people that like to go on a vacation, especially for me coming from minus 30 up in cold Canada.
Ernie and I had to escape Phoenix, Arizona, so, you know, you always want to escape Phoenix in February, but this must be great for you. What was it, like, negative 50 out of Phoenix?
Yeah, at the worst, yeah. They had about 50-something with the wind chill, so it was pretty cold, yeah, and, but it's just beautiful down there. Like, look at all the people out there. You know, we're trying to push the world into a better place, and kind of forward humanity, so we can educate people. We can really make the world a better place, because that's what it's all about. That's what all these conversations are all about. And, like, guys like you and me, you know, we're starting to, like, slowly become really good friends, because we have that true meaning, true deep want to actually change the world to that place that we want to see, and help others and educate others to actually make that the next leap to, you know, we don't need a government anymore. We need to be independent. You know, let's get rid of all the banksters that's out there, the controllers, you know, Jamie Dimon over there at JP Morgan and his JP Morgan coin that's coming out. You could call it a shit coin. Sorry, you might have to censor that out. But that's you know, what these banksters are trying to do. They're just trying to co-opt, you know, the actual movement, because this is what it is. Like, crypto and everything else that we're doing, we are decentralizing away from the central control of this elite that has been strangling us for years, and everybody is just feeling like they're, gasping for air. And now we're actually giving, we're kind of like trying to, we're finding that somebody's strangling us, and we're trying to like just help that guy, get the hands off of him from the government.
Average person is just trying to get more and more rope to further basically enslave everyone else. But I think we're going to cut it here. I just wanted to get a good cross-section of the people that are here. And thank you very much. This is actually our first time ever meeting in person.
Very much a pleasure, Jim. It's been wonderful to meet you and everybody here. It's a wonderful time.
Thank you, John.
Thank you for listening to the show. One of the ways you can help support the show is by seeing if it makes sense to invest with myself. I'm a certified financial planner with Innovative Advisory Group, LLC. Innovative specializes in self-directed IRAs where you can invest into virtually anything, including virtual assets and cryptocurrencies inside your retirement accounts. And get this, you can actually hold on to the private key. And that's something that nobody else is doing, at least with the help of an advisor. We also run protective growth portfolios where you invest a small amount of your portfolio into put options, and while the rest, and that basically helps protect the rest of the portfolio. Not very many people are familiar with put options, but a lot of people are familiar with homeowners insurance, and it works in a very similar fashion. So essentially what you're doing is using a very, very small percentage of the value of the home to protect the rest of the home. And if the house doesn't burn down or there isn't a major catastrophe, then you're basically out on the cost of the insurance. Flip side on, if your house ends up burning down, well, then you build your house back. And that's really the same thing that's going on here. So if the market ends up tanking, and we know the most that you can possibly lose on your investment, and honestly, if the market were to go down 60, 70%, and you're only down single digits potentially, then that's an amazing buying opportunity. Lord Nathan Rothschild said it best, that the best time to invest is when there's blood in the streets. But if your money goes down with everybody else's, then you're not able to take advantage of the next crisis. And also, if you're just camping out in cash or in bonds, making next to nothing, you could be going broke safely for a very long time. And then you've got to know when to time the market. And that's something that basically nobody can do. Now, on the flip side, if I'm wrong in all this and the market keeps going higher, or the Federal Reserve comes out, or the European Central Bank comes out and says, hey, we're going to print a whole bunch more money, and the market goes to infinity, well, then you'll go up to infinity minus the cost of that put option. So I think that this is a great strategy that you definitely want to learn more about. I mean, just given the craziness that's going on right now, if you're heavy into cash right now, heavy into bonds, or even heavy into stocks, especially if you're close to actually needing those funds for retirement, or just needing those funds in general, maybe for a big project, or maybe you work on a crypto and you raised a whole bunch of money, that this is something that we can help protect yourself and protect your loved ones. And there's nothing you have to lose by scheduling a free consultation with us. And actually, there's a chance you could lose a lot by not talking with us in general. If you go and click on our website in the upper right-hand corner, there's a Work With Tim button up there. You can see all of our plans, ways we work with our clients. Pricing can all be found there. And given that I'm sort of out there on a lot of different political issues, I know that I'm not going to be for everybody. That's sort of my way of qualifying you, not the other way around. But I'm fine. I'm not trying to have all six billion people out there like me. And I'm here to really, at the end of the day, to tell the truth and to make money, not necessarily make friends. So head over to thelibertyadvisor.com and let's see what we can do for you. Thank you.